Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for all things Atlanta Braves minor league system. I am your host, Gaurav, and today we look back at the draft as a whole and give you some of our overarching thoughts. Joining me today are Garrett Spain and, of course, our good friend, Matt Powers. So sit back, grab some popcorn, and get ready for an exciting episode of Peach State Prospects. Let's go ahead and get things started. All right, let's start off with question one. And Garrett, I'm going to go to you first. What are your overall thoughts on the approach the Braves took with the draft? And, you know, just keep in mind, Braves went super pitching heavy on days one and two. That's 9 of their first 10 picks were all pitchers. And then position players on day three. That's 8 out of their last 10 rounds. They went with position players. And we seem to see a lot of extra spend as well during the international free agency period on position players itself. So I just wanted to know your overall thoughts on the approach the Braves took on the draft. Garrett, you first.
I mean, selfishly, I would love to see more hitters, especially at the top of the draft. They just tend to, you know, those first three rounds, they hardly ever go hitter. And now when they do get those guys early, they tend to hit on them fairly well. They've had a bunch of, you know, guys third, fourth round that have done well. But, you know, I would love to see more hitters in the system. But, you know, like you said, there's a lot of guys in the international signing period that they get, and then you can't really argue with their pitching development. They've done such a good job of turning guys into major league pitchers that, I mean, that's what you're good at, I guess. Keep going for it. And it's so hard, you know, in this day and age, teams don't want to trade pitching, you know, especially major league caliber or major league ready pitching. And so, you know, it gives you two options, which is, one, you have something that no one else is willing to get rid of, and you have something that you can't really get anywhere else when you develop these guys. So I see where the strategy is coming from. You know, I would love to see more hitters in the system, but they've obviously done a good job with the pitchers that they have gotten in.
Matt, what about you?
Well, I mean, let me start out by saying this is not a normal draft. Not talking about the Braves draft, but the draft as a whole. I don't think it's as weak as some people made it out to be, although it is definitely a little down. But I think a lot of that might stem from the fact that after the first 75 to maybe 100 prospects in the draft, the hit tool or the power tool, one of those two just was not quite where you'd want it to be this year. And the Braves really did seem to focus heavily on hit tool more than ever. If you look at the hitters that they drafted that are potential legitimate prospects, really only Nick Montgomery has significant power potential. Everybody else from Cluizzi to Jones, Carey, McIntyre, they're clearly a hit above power approach. And these guys should definitely hit in the minors at the very least, and some of them I think could become prospects in time. But it was very interesting to see that, and I'm interested in seeing if that continues next year in a more normal draft, or if they're going to continue to lean so heavily on hit tool over power and maybe believe that they could maybe get more power out of these guys and or other future prospects, or if it was just related to this draft where if you're taking a guy with good power but a very questionable hit tool, or already a good hit tool but going to need some work to tap into the power in this draft, I'm not sure which of those two is really at play here, and I'm very curious to watch that going forward.
You raised some definitely interesting points, and I do agree with you. Maybe the draft was perceived as being down because of the lack of prep talent there and just more people going to college. But I do, you know, I do agree with you. It was a relatively kind of business as usual. But moving on from there, and we're going to try and play this episode on hard mode, all right? Your favorite pick of the draft, and if it's Cam Caminiti, I want you to pick someone else. Matt, you go first.
So, obviously, that's going to be Caminiti for me. I mean, he is basically the Braves draft. If I can't go with Cam Caminiti, I would have to go with Holton. I do think he's a risky pick, but I think that you're getting a guy that, provided he stays healthy, is going to be a legitimate weapon. I'm not sure if he starts or relieves beyond the health issues, and then you add in the health issues, so that further clouds what his future may hold. But this is a guy who's had great success, did it in the toughest college league in America, and even if he can't start, he has the potential to be a weapon out of the bullpen. So if you're not taking Cam Minetti into consideration, it would have to be Holton, who just has so much potential as a weapon, whether he's starting or leaving.
Carter Holton, of course, being having that four pitch mix, sitting in the mid 90s, touching 97, undersized pitcher there. Garrett, let's hear from you. Who is your favorite pick of the draft outside of Cam Caminiti?
Yeah, I agree with Matt. Cam Minetti's, the clear best, one of the best first round picks they've had in a really, really long time. Looking at that, next group of guys for me is Nick Montgomery. I like the tool set there. A big guy who has a ton of power. Everybody loves power, right? Chicks dig the long ball. And so the Braves build their organization on power and getting power to the major leagues. And that tends to be what they focus on. And with Montgomery, that's a guy with a lot of risk. And, maybe I'm dampened a little bit my excitement given that they did give him a seven-figure bonus. It's a very big bonus to give a guy like that. But they have done such a good job of identifying catchers that they think that they can improve defensively. And that's really the big thing for me is if he hits and catches, that's a ridiculous steal. If he does even either one of those, it's a steal at this portion of the draft. So I really think that for me, the tool set there with Montgomery is very interesting, and I really like him specifically in the Braves system and what they've been able to do with catching prospects.
I definitely tend to agree with you as well, Garrett. If he hits, stays at catcher, that's one of the most valuable players in minor league baseball. Add on to that, I mean, even the seven-figure bonus, it makes it think, you start to think that the Braves actually do see some of those kind of skills translating. So Nick Montgomery is definitely going to be a player that we watch very, very closely. Moving on to question three, I want to know your favorite pick from day two. Now, day two included rounds 3 through 10. That involves Luke Senard, Eric Hernandez, Nick Montgomery, Ethan Bagwell, Brett Sears, Logan Samuel, Owen Hackman, and Jacob Kroger. So Garrett, going to you first. I think I already know the answer to this one because of the way you answered the second one, but who was your favorite pick from day two?
Well, obviously, I already said Montgomery, so I'm going to give you another name here. I do like Senard in the third round. Big guy, we huge induced vertical break on the fastball. That really seems to be what their models are favoring, and especially this year, they got a lot of guys. Most of their pitchers are big IVB guys. Owen Hackman's another example of that. So I really like Senard, a guy who would have gone much higher if he hadn't been hurt. And the Braves have done a fairly good job of identifying those Tommy John arms as guys that they can develop at the professional level. So Snard's a guy I really like.
6'8". He's got that IVB that you talked about. Don't have the numbers in front of me, but I have to imagine that extension is off the charts as well, making that fastball even play up higher. Matt, what about you? What was your favorite pick from day two?
I think it's a tie, really, for me. Montgomery and Senard. I mean, Garrett pretty much covered both of them, but Montgomery could be one of the top offensive catchers in baseball in the major leagues if he's able to catch and hit. Even if he can't catch, he still has the bat to play first base, or maybe enough athleticism to play in the corner outfield. And Senard is not a third round pick. He is a guy that would have gone on day one had he been healthy and actually pitched this year. So getting a guy like that in round three compared to the rest of the pitchers that went in the third round, I think that's also a steal. But since those guys were already touched on, I'm going to end up going with Owen Hackman. I think that to get a guy that late and that cheap, I mean, he only cost 2,500 as the ninth round, and I'm not sure that he's going to have enough to end up starting, but I think he has a chance to be a legitimate relief prospect in time, something that there is for the Braves to work with. And when you can get a guy that late, that cheap, it's got to be Hackman.
Bachman hits and he's in the majors as a reliever. Whoever signed him deserves a raise as is, because that's incredible value from that pick and that price point. Moving on to the next question, I want to now ask what your favorite pick from day three was. Again, that's rounds 11 through 20. That would, and I'm going to butcher his name, I know this, but Patrick Lohiese, Kamen Good, Colby Jones, Mason Guerra, Owen Carey, Titus Dumitru, Jacob Schaefer, Jake Steele's, Dalton McIntyre, and Eric Hartman. And as of the recording of this episode, it's safe to say the Braves are going to at least sign one of the two between Dalton and Eric, and then everyone else can sign. So Matt, going to you first, who was your favorite pick from day three?
There's actually a lot of guys that I like on day three. Not as much as the day two guys, but I think that they have a lot of value, especially when you consider the price point that they were working with on day three. If I had to make a favorite selection, I would probably lean towards Kamen Good. I think that he's a bit raw, but he's got such good measurables and tools to work with that the Braves are able to maybe get the most out of him. And the fact that he is a bit raw means that they have more to work with that they can get to develop as compared to a pitcher who's a little bit further along in his development. So getting him in, getting him with pro coaching, I think that's going to be big for him because he's got the package that you need to be able to be a big leaguer. It's just a matter of fine-tuning it and just making everything play up a little bit more. It's going to take a few years, obviously, but he is definitely great value in the 12th round.
Came and good, of course, like Matt said, 12th round pick, free pitch mix, fastball sitting in the mid 90s already, 94, 76, 79 mile an hour curveball and a solid slider. Garrett, what about you?
Yeah, that would have been my pick too. I like Kamen Good quite a bit. Can really spin a breaking ball. That's one of the big things you look at with him and can say he can spin two good breaking balls. You don't see that a lot of times from high school arms. So you kind of hope you can project him to a change up down the road. The other guy I really liked was Owen Carey. You know, kind of a bit of a later pop-up guy who had a really good summer. Really showed a good hit tool over the summer, and that pushed him up draft boards late, and the Braves were able to get him without even having to go overslot in the 15th round. Kind of a colder weather guy. So, with that, you come with a guy that's very raw, but has a lot of tools that can project to, average, above average type things, as long as he hits and hits well. And it seems like, he made a lot of strides in terms of his hit tools. So you kind of look at that as if he can keep that momentum going with his athleticism. That's a player who could really be, a starting caliber outfielder. I definitely like the athleticism there. I think he's one of those guys that has that high ceiling that we kind of look for, especially in those later round picks. Sometimes if you can get a guy with, that sort of, starter caliber ceiling out of the later round picks, that's always a good, a good steal for me.
Of course, I'm all about those lottery tickets, especially later in the draft. You don't want to have too much risk earlier, but the later round picks, especially at that kind of slot value and able to sign at that value and their wild cards, I'm all for it. So now we spent a couple of days last week breaking down the first 2 days of the draft. We didn't have one specializing on day three. Matt, I want to go to you first. What are your overall thoughts on day three as is, whether that be the strategy, the picks, or the overall approach they made? Did you have any other insight or anything you wanted to share?
So I really like day three. I don't think there's a true headliner prospect like you get in the top 6 rounds from this Braves draft, but I think there's a lot of nice lottery ticket type picks, Good and Carey that we had already talked about, Dalton McIntyre, who has shown a very promising hit tool as well, assuming that he signs. A guy like Kolaizi, who I have heard had some real offers to transfer to the SEC. He's a guy that should end up hitting. I think, speaking of SEC, Colby Jones, who I don't think that shortstop who was also headed to the SEC as a signee for Alabama, doesn't really have plus tools. But he's just one of those players and the gamer type, the guy that gets the most out of everything he has and really just plays hard and wins games. Guy like that. And getting a guy like Mason Guerra, who was really highly touted out of high school, hasn't hit quite as well as you'd hope, moved off of being a prep shortstop to potential third baseman to now first base. But there is something in that bat that maybe they can unlock. Guy like Titus Dumitru, who put up some ridiculous numbers at New Mexico State, although obviously that comes with the asterisk that New Mexico State is such a ridiculously hitter-friendly park. It's almost like the Coors Field of college baseball. But there's a lot of guys in that day where there might not be a headliner, but there's a lot of guys that it's like, okay, I like this guy. And I kept saying that after every single pick, it felt like. And there's just a bunch of guys that are going to be really worth watching. Was very heavy on the hit tool outside of Guerra. Maybe Dimitri. I'd say that the hit tool was above all else with those guys, which I mentioned before. Light on the arms, but good is a significant enough arm that that kind of makes up for that. And they did like Schaefer as well, the senior sign, more of a sinker slider type of pitcher. Lower leverage type relief is what his profile would be, but it was just a very strong day. And if they're able to sign Hartman away from Michigan, that would just be another huge win for them.
Leave it to Matt to know about park factors at New Mexico State. Garrett, same question for you. What are your additional thoughts on day three?
This is Matt's forte, these kind of lower level guys. That's more than I could have ever said. I really like, that they, I kind of like the approach of going with that hit tool thing because that's one of the hardest things to teach guys is how to hit, right? But oftentimes power is the latest thing to come for a player, and a player will develop physically after they've developed, some of their skills. So you kind of hope that one of these, eight, nine hitters, if one of them grows into any power, suddenly you're looking at a guy that is worth way more than you gave them. So I can definitely see kind of the approach and how that could work for them.
Going right back to you, Garrett. Out of everyone drafted by the Braves this year, who has the highest ceiling? And if it's Cam Caminiti, who is 1B for you?
It's a tough call. I want to say that Nick Montgomery probably, in terms of pure ceiling, Nick Montgomery, because that's a guy that if he hits and plays defense, a catcher with plus power that can hit is one of the best players in baseball. So I would say on pure ceiling, it's probably him just because the ability to just the value that you get from the catcher position just defensively would make him an extremely valuable player. And then, I do like, though I will say, I mean, Caminiti's not far behind. You look at the arm talent there. That's a guy that could really be, a number two type starter if everything develops.
Matt, same question to you.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Caminiti. Think that getting a guy like that is basically going to make or break this Braves draft as a whole. But it's kind of like that. I think that was off the top of my head the 2017 draft where they drafted Kyle Wright and Drew Waters. And I think, and that was basically the entire draft that year. Caminiti and Holton are going to have a pretty similar effect to that. But if you're going to be doing a strategy like that to go with a guy like Caminiti, who really has that kind of upside, especially in a draft that's a little bit weaker, it's just a strong play to be able to get a guy like that and do better than what you'd project you should be able to get when you're picking 24th in the draft.
What about outside of Cam? Who do you think has the highest ceiling? Is it also for you? Is it also Nick Montgomery?
Highest ceiling, probably Montgomery. I mean, he's the one other guy where you're looking at the potential, one of the potential top offensive catchers in the entire sport. So I don't think, as much as I like the ceiling on a Holton or a Senard or a Bagwell, if everything all comes together on those guys, I don't think it's quite as high as a Montgomery.
Thanks for that, Matt. I'm gonna go right back at you with this next question. Who would you say has the highest floor out of everyone from this draft?
Oh, that's easy. That's got to be Holton. I think that just it's unless their injuries pop up, he's a guy that's going to at the very least have a career as a big league reliever. The success that he had in college for 3 years in the SEC, the strikeout numbers that he had, being a left-handed pitcher, it's just hard to see a scenario where, assuming he's healthy, which is a question, but assuming he's healthy, it's hard to see where he doesn't make the big leagues.
Wanted to come in here with something completely different, but I tend to agree with you, Matt. Garrett, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I think we're all three in agreement. It's Holton. I tend to not like to put high floors on pitchers just because of the injury risks there, but they don't really have any high floor hitters. So you've got to look at the pitching crop to look at the floors, and it's Holton. I mean, that fastball slider, again, as long as he stays healthy, worst case scenario, that's going to work in a major league bullpen. So he's a guy that I like a lot and who I think's pretty safe bet to get to the major leagues as long as he stays healthy and get to the major leagues probably pretty quickly.
Yes, that was too easy of a question to ask the two of you. So moving on to the next one. If we keep the results of the draft as is, if literally everything else stayed the same, are you going with Cam with the 24th pick, or are you going with a different approach? Garrett, I want to hear from you first.
Easily Cam. I mean, before we knew his signing bonus and we were thinking, oh, maybe he gets 4.5 million, you could kind of consider maybe go a guy like Dax Whitney and kind of spread money around. But with him getting slot, that's a huge deal for them. That there's no question that, like I said earlier, one of their best picks in that I can even remember. Maybe Carter Stewart was a better pick at the time, but even that didn't turn out very well, obviously, with them not signing him. It was a great pick, and I wouldn't have done anything different. It's far, far better than I imagined the draft turning out.
I definitely had a feeling the only other person that you would bring up would be Dax just because of those savings. But Matt, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, considering the way that the draft turned out, I never really had Holton, I mean, not Holton, Caminiti high on my list for guys that I thought the Braves were going to take, mostly because I just didn't see many scenarios where he would fall that far. So get one of the clear top 10 to 15 players in this draft and a guy who probably would be a little bit higher if he wasn't so young, because you can't forget he reclassified up a year into this year. He should only be a rising high school senior going into next season if he didn't reclassify up. So that kind of even knocked him down a little bit in terms of draft stock from where he might have been next year if he had stayed in his initial class. But yeah, I can't really see many scenarios where the Braves could have done better. I liked a bunch of other guys for the Braves heading into the draft, but if I had Caminiti on that list, he would have ranked higher than any of them. So I do love that.
Just to put things in perspective, it is weird to talk about Cam like this because at the same age, given next year when, if we're talking about a full season, at that time when he gets his professional career really ramped up, I would have just been finishing AP exams and he's likely going to be getting ready to, for low A baseball, which is pretty crazy to even think about. Now I have a feeling we all know the answer to this question already, but Matt, I'm going to go to you first. Who makes it to the majors the fastest?
Oh, it's got to be Holton. I mean, for a guy who is outside of Kennedy, the highest profile, best at this present time prospect in the class, with 3 years of success in the SEC, provided he stays healthy, it's hard to see a scenario where anyone beats him to the big leagues, unless injuries do pop up, which, I mean, they have in the past with him, but even if it's just in relief, it's hard to see where he doesn't make it to the big leagues first.
Barrett, what about you?
Yep, I'm in the same boat. I think it's Holton. That's a guy that the Braves are going to want to get to the major leagues very quickly. They tend to want all of their high picks to go as quickly as they can get them through. The only guy that I could potentially see maybe getting there faster would be Hackman if they moved him straight into the bullpen, but typically, they give guys a chance to start before moving them off to the bullpen, so I would expect that Hackman starts, which would slow him down.
We're seeing that with Blake Burkhalter right now, pure reliever and in college came to Atlanta and he's been pitching 4 or 5 innings a game. Now that could be just so the Braves can get more work for him between each game, but it's definitely something that has appeared several times. Moving on from that question, now imagine everyone hits their 99th percentile. This is who they could ever imagine, whatever their potential might possibly be, best case scenario. Garrett, who do you believe makes the biggest impact in the majors?
Similar to the ceiling question from earlier, I would say it would be Montgomery in terms of just that bat from the catching position would be, elite there. The only other guy again would be Caminiti if he reaches the ceiling. Kind of having a guy like that as a starter, when you look at playoff scenarios, having a guy like that as a starter is someone you want pitching, every third game in the playoffs. So I could see him being a guy that would make a similar sort of impact in a playoff scenario for sure.
I'm really hoping Matt goes off script here and goes after some undrafted free agent that I haven't even seen happen. Matt, what about you? Who makes the biggest impact in the majors?
Garrett took my answers. I mean, it's got to be Montgomery if everything works out 100%. I mean, Caminiti is close, but and he's obviously the more likely of the two to reach more of his upside. But if everything worked out perfectly, Montgomery has would have some chance to be in the conversation for best catcher in baseball. Because of the offense, obviously, but it's hard for anyone to be ranked above that on this answer.
All right, Nick Montgomery, obviously high on all of our lists. Moving on from here, Matt, going to you first. Who do you think is either the biggest win or the be biggest steal of the draft by the Braves?
That's a little tough because I think that this class was just filled with so many steals. Part of me wants to say Senard because getting a day one pick on day two is great value, but I mean, that's still a guy that you took in the top 100, so I can't really go with him. So I'm gonna end up having to go with him and Good, I think, to get a guy that late in the 12th round and then end up signing him for just $11,000 into the bonus pool. It's got to be him, I think. It you can make a couple arguments for others, but that's where I'm at right now.
To admit, when I came up with that question, my first initial thought was also came in good. But Garrett, let's hear from you.
I mean, if we're not specifically talking about picks past the 100 mark, I mean, Caminiti sliding him to 24th is the biggest steal of the draft. Getting him that low is a major steal, even with the amount of money they gave him. But yeah, if we're talking about later round picks, it would be good for me getting him on that day three. He's a guy that, when I've watched him play, again, you talk about the raw tools there, but the way that he spins his pitches, the way that he shows velocity and there's projectability there, that's a guy that it's very clear why the Braves like him. And he's a guy that I think is going to play well above his draft position fairly quickly. Yeah, he's one of those guys that I'm kind of targeting at, looking at next year and saying, if you play well, you're going to go straight into the top 30, depending on if, I would assume he starts at Augusta next year. He's a guy that could really quickly make his way out of the top 30s for me. I really like him.
Kind of similar in that vein, Garrett, going to you first. Who do you think is the biggest risk of the draft and why?
I mean, giving $3.5 million to a 17-year-old is a risk. It always is, and that's just absolutely that's the guy that's the biggest risk. So it's got to be Caminiti's the biggest risk. It comes with the upside, but giving him that amount of money is a huge risk, especially when you're looking at prep pitchers. The attrition rate on prep pitchers is very high, so there's a pretty good likelihood even a guy as well liked as Caminiti won't ever make that level of impact in the major league. So that's a huge risk to take at the top of the draft, though I obviously think that it was worth the risk.
I have a feeling, Matt, that you're going to come in with something similar, but let's hear from you.
I actually have a completely different answer. I think Caminiti is a bit of a risk, but I don't think he's the biggest risk. I think that would actually be Holton, because not only do you have the health questions, and he's had health stuff pop up in each of the last 2 years already, which is not a great sign. And then you add in the fact he's undersized and has that starter reliever risk question about him, even if he is 100% healthy. Taking a guy like that high in the second round, the 62nd pick overall, and basically giving him slot value there, that to me is the biggest risk, even though I think he is the most likely, provided he stays healthy, to make it to the major leagues first. It's just, what role is he? And obviously, if he's a reliever, that's stretching it a little bit to say that's worthy of a second round pick in any draft. But there is potential, but there's definitely real risk with him, I think.
I like it. It's something a little different. And just for everyone to be on the same page, Cam signed for $3.5 million. Carter Holton coming in with the 62 round pick, the 62nd pick, 62nd round, 62nd pick overall, signing at $1.385 million. I'm going to add one more question to this, and it's not draft related. We would be remiss not to talk about Nacho Alvarez making his Braves debut today. Matt, going to you first. What do you feel like people should watch for, and what do you believe Nacho can provide for the Braves?
So I think people should watch for his on-base ability, his defense. I think those are what he's going to provide the Braves, along with some versatility. I think he could play, obviously, second base. He's got the shortstop and third base experience in his background. And when Ozzie comes back, he should be able to slide around a little bit. I'm not 100% sure about his hitting. I do think he'll get on base at a fairly solid clip, but I do think he's going to struggle with the power against big league pitching. I'm thinking somewhere around a line of like 250 with a 320, 330 on base, and maybe like a 300 to 315 slug this year, because I don't think he's quite ready as a hitter. I mean, defensively, he's definitely ready. His ability to get on base, I don't think, is a big question, but I do wonder about how the power will actually play against big league pitching.
I particularly love the move to second. I saw people on Twitter talking about Orlando moving to second to let Nacho play his natural short. No, No, that's entirely wrong. I like I'm a, I'm a, I'm actually a huge fan of Nacho at second with his, average footwork, but with that great arm, I think he can turn around and play a really good defensive second base. Garrett, what about you? What do you have? What do you believe people should watch for with Nacho, and what can he provide the Braves?
I think that he's going to really solidify the second base defense. Even if he doesn't hit, we've seen the Braves in the past that they favor defense from their backups. We saw it when, Vaughn Grissom, we considered him a better hitter than Orlando Arcia, but he didn't get that job because his defense wasn't there. With Nacho, his defense is there. He's a very smart guy, too. We've heard this a lot that he's very smart. He's very good at making adjustments. So he's not one of those guys that you feel like he's going to get to the major leagues and get overwhelmed or. Once hit pitchers make an adjustment, he's going to suddenly go through these long extended slumps. He's a guy that, look, I don't think he's ready. My excitement is tempered here. I think that he's going to be a below average hitter. I think he's going to be a below average player overall. But with the mental tool set that he has, he's not a guy that I have that level of fear that he's just going to be terrible and cost the Braves games. I think he's going to play a very solid defense. He doesn't let the game speed up on him. The Braves are very good at positioning too, so he's a guy that his mobility is a little bit limited for what you want from a second baseman, but he has a great arm. The Braves are going to position him to make the most of his strengths, and so he's a guy that he can make all the necessary adjustments. He's going to put up great at bats. I don't think the power is going to be there yet. I have questions about how he's going to handle inside fastballs because he doesn't pull the ball very much, but looking at the overall tool set, he's a guy that. He's not going to be a good major leaguer just yet, but he can handle it, and he's probably the best option that they have right now. I'm actually confident in saying he's the best option that they have right now just because of what he can provide defensively. And it's a good way to get his feet wet too, because going into next year, I don't think that job is solid for Orlando Arcia. So if he can come up, get major league experience against hitters, he can go against those pitchers, he can go into spring training next year and have that much more confidence to say, hey, I can take the shortstop job from Orlando Arcia going into 2025. So I think ideally this wouldn't happen and wouldn't need to happen, but looking at how this system shapes out, it's the obvious choice. He's the guy that should be getting that job if we're going purely on merit. He's the guy that deserves that job, and I think that he's going to handle it well. He's going to be a guy that the clubhouse is going to love, and I think as he learns, I think working with Kevin Seitzer is going to be fantastic for him. Seitzer's done a good job with a lot of guys of kind of unlocking that last little bit of ceiling for guys. I think it's going to be great for him working for him. And he's a guy that we have to be patient with, but I think he will reward the Braves long term and be a guy that can at least fill in decently for the rest of the year and then look to the future as, yeah, this could be one of the, key pieces of the franchise.
That's one good, yeah, that's a great call out there, Garrett. The idea of Nacho with Kevin Seitzer being able to take that next step. With Nacho, you don't really have to worry about the hit tool. You don't have to worry about the approach. He's going to take his walks. He's going to swing at pitches only in the zone, not going to chase a lot. It is a very, almost old school approach compared to what we see in the majors today. So if working with Seitzer, and he's able to tap into some of that power, and you're seeing some of those opposite field singles turn into, pull doubles into the gap, you're going to see a completely different evaluation of Nacho. But as is, I think that's safe to say, and I can speak for the two of you, we're all three of us are excited to see what he does today. There is still a lot to like about Nacho Alvarez. He does have value to a major league club. He is, again, going to get on base. He is going to hit. It's just going to see how he handles a little more advanced pitching, how he handles those inside pitches like Garrett's talked about. Well, you too. Thanks so much. You can go ahead and officially close the gauntlet of questions I had for the two of you. That is a wrap for today's episode of Peach State Prospects. We hope you all enjoyed our thoughts and commentary regarding the MLB draft over the past couple of days. We will be dropping our mid-season top 30 list, and there has been quite a bunch of movement. We got a lot of good data from this first half. We saw a lot of really strong first halves from other players. We've seen some not good first halves from a few unfortunate, no notable players. But with that, a special thank you to Matt Powers for all the time he has given us over the past week, 2 weeks. Seriously, Matt, you're a rock star. Thank you so much. And as always, if you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on social media for updates and more Braves-related content. Until next time, keep cheering on the Braves and stay tuned for more Peach State prospects. All right, as of the end of me hitting stop on that recording, we just got word that Eric Hartman has signed with the Braves. Garrett, you first. Initial thoughts on being able to sign Eric Hartman away from that University of Michigan commitment?
We actually talked about this a lot earlier today, where it was like, personally, I would have signed if they were able to throw, 300 plus at me. But, I could see him going to school and kind of taking that D1 commitment and seeing what he can do. This is an exciting guy to get him away from Michigan and, a high level athlete, a guy that, Matt notes in his write up with good makeup. I don't think that we were really expecting to sign him. I think we kind of thought, look, that guy's probably going to end up getting away, and it's going to be that one guy in the 20th round that doesn't sign. I'm very excited that they managed to get him, and it seems like there's a pretty good chance they could close out the draft, though it looks like Dalton McIntyre is still up in the air right now.
There were reports out during the weekend that Dalton was looking to sign for close to the slot with the Braves. But Matt, first, I want to hear what are your thoughts about the Braves being able to snag Eric Hartman?
I'm excited about it, and for two different reasons, obviously. The first and the biggest one is I really like the kid. I think he's a good, solid prospect, significantly better than a 20th round level talent. If we're talking just talent, and obviously none of the draft really goes by just talent, but he is a clear day two talent that the Braves got in the 20th round. So I'm excited about it for that reason. But I'm also excited because his name just sounds so much like Eric Cartman from South Park. So just a reason to throw out old South Park memes.
Yeah, that GIF folder is definitely gonna be used next year, that's for certain. And because we already recorded the ending of the episode, I hope you guys enjoy some music as we close out this episode. Thanks so much for tuning in.